Now let's continue on with the message for the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Holy Day. And let's ask the question, how are we being perfected? Well, there are things that we need to do. So let's see what those are. And let's see how we need to make that the main goal in our lives, because Jesus said, become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, you can't have any greater righteousness than that. Let's come to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. As you're turning there, let's understand, God has called us out of this world. We're not part of the world, but we live in the world. And so, therefore, we need to understand that we can't have the world affecting us so that we live like they do. Now, especially concerning the things of religion, concerning the things of how the world is. You see, you go back and you read the message to the church of the Laodiceans. Now, they're lukewarm. Now, why are they lukewarm? Because they're not cold and they're not hot. They're in between. And if you're in between, you've compromised. And too many of those who are Laodiceans, unless they have repented, have compromised and become lukewarm and oh-hum about God's way. Because they haven't really caught the vision that God the Father, the ruler, the sovereign of the universe, has been dealing in their lives. And what must we do? See, we've got to act with fervency. We've got to act with zeal. We've got to act with repentance. You know, as Jude wrote, in helping some people come out of sin, he says, some you save with mercy and kindness. In other words, you even hate the garments that they have because they're so stained with sin. All right, now 2 Corinthians 6, let's pick it up here in verse 14. So we're going to learn what not to do and what to do. And we are going not only to learn what to do, but how to do it. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? Nothing. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what union does Christ have with Belial? Now, Belial, those are the sons of Baal. Foolishness, vanity, lust, greed. What part does an unbeliever, a believer have with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between a temple of God and idols? Now, temple of God, each one of us are a temple of God. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse 16. What, know you not that you're a temple of God? And that God dwells in you? Isn't it fantastic that God the Father and Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit of God, dwell in us? Yes. And with the power and the Holy Spirit of God, we can get rid of sin. We can overcome lust. We can overcome hatred. We can overcome greed. We can overcome anger. We can overcome the works of the flesh. We can overcome the world. We can overcome Satan, the devil. See? Not agree with it. For he says here, continuing verse 16, for you are a temple of the living God, exactly as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from the midst of them and be separate, says the Lord. That's what the whole Feast of Unleavened Bread pictures, brethren. And have our minds and our hearts focused on the kingdom of God, the love of God, the faith of God, the hope of God, the fruits of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. And touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, that's quite a promise, isn't it? See, that's what God wants. He wants to take and convert us and mold us and teach us. And that's what the whole purpose of the ministry is for, to teach and perfect the saints, the upbuilding, the lifting up, the inspiring of, the teaching of, coming from God the Father through His Word, through His Spirit, to all of us together. And even as Paul said to those who are teachers, you who teach others, don't you teach yourself? Yes, and we're all to be growing and learning, aren't we? Every year, every day, every Sabbath. Now let's see here, chapter 7 and verse 1. Now then, beloved, since we have these promises, we should purge ourselves. Now purge means to get rid of. And he say, purge out the old leaven that you may become a new lump. Yes, indeed. We should purge ourselves from every defilement of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, holiness is living God's way. Now, God's way is perfect. Let's come back here to Psalm 18. As David knew that God's way was perfect, Psalm 18, listen, brethren. If we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, then we need a perfect way to get there. Isn't that correct? And since we are imperfect, we need to be changed. We need to be transformed. We need to be renewed. And that comes from the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of truth, from the perfect God who loves us, from the perfect Savior who gave Himself for us and is right now giving us the very mind that Jesus had. Psalm 18, let's come here to verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. Now let's add another scripture to it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As for God, His way is perfect. This is how we become perfect as our Father is in heaven is perfect. The Word of God is tried, yes, tried like silver, refined 7 times in the furnace. Yes, the Word of God is tried. The Word of God is true. Even down as we have examined to even a tiny phrase can tell us an awful lot. He is a shield for all of those who take refuge in Him. Just put in your margin there, Psalm 91. And we're heading for a lot of trouble down the road here in the future. And we need the protection of God. He puts us under the shadow of His wings. Now the world can't see that. But just like when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, God was there in the pillar of the cloud by day and the fire by night. And just like it was, they were covered with the protection of God. So you read Psalm 91. There's a promise that 1,000 can fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left hand, and it won't come near you. Now let's read on. A shield to all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? Or who is a rock except our God? Now remember what Jesus said about hearing His words and doing them versus hearing the words and not doing them? The one who heard the words of Christ and did them is like a man building his house on a rock. And that rock was Christ, isn't it? He is our rock. Yes, indeed. Now notice, verse 32, who girds me with strength, and we need the strength of the Spirit of God, and makes my way perfect. How? Because you live by the Word of God. It's like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And everything we have here, God has spoken, or God has breathed the inspiration of it, as if He has spoken, and it has been tried, and it's true, and it's great, and it's marvelous, and these are the words of life, eternal life. All right. Now let's continue on here. Let's see what God wants us to do, how we are to do it. Let's come here to Philippians, the third chapter. Now this is really quite a section here, because we're all going to go through difficulties. We're all going to have trials and troubles. We're all going to have afflictions. We're all going to have those things which will test our faith. But if we're walking in the truth and we are believing in faithfully in the Word of God, and we are trusting God and living in His Spirit, then we're going to understand. Come to Philippians, the third chapter here. Notice the attitude that the Apostle Paul had. Now, stop and think about your life. There are a lot of things in your life you have to forget. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. There are things that we need to realize and understand that only God can purge away, which is why we're to learn the lesson, but not have that indelibly stamped upon our mind. That's why we need the washing of the water of the Word. And that's why our part in being perfected by God is to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now notice. Notice what the Apostle Paul, after he said, listen, my whole life was nothing but gain. What he found out, that was nothing but sin. He repented of it. Verse 7, yea, the things that were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And it doesn't matter. You have things in your life, need to forget, get rid of. That's what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. You can get rid of it. You can have it removed, just like you get leaven out of your homes. But then truly, I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as dung, that I may gain Christ. Now dung, in the Greek, that's skubala. Now think about it for a minute. 2/3 of our body are devoted to a sewer system. Isn't that true? Think about it. Yes, it is. And so just as we need to have our sewer system working good, we need to be getting rid of the things in our lives so we don't have a sewer backup, spiritually speaking. Counted but dung. Now notice verse 9. And be found in him, not with the blessing of the high priest and orders to kill Christians, but to be found in Christ. Not having my own righteousness, which is derived from law, because he was practicing all the laws of Judaism and was blameless. That can't be the righteousness, because all of that is out here. The true righteousness comes from within with the Spirit of God. See? But the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ, through the Spirit of God, Christ gives us his faith. That's God's faith. And in the Greek, Jesus said, have God's faith. Now that's something we need to grow in. We've got a long way to go because we are being perfected. We haven't yet arrived. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's the goal, brethren. And just to help you be comforted, every single Christian that has been faithful down through the centuries has died and is waiting the resurrection. So don't worry about death. We're all going to die in Adam. Focus on the resurrection like Paul did here. Now notice, verse 12, not as though I have already received or have already been perfected. No, the perfection is a process, and that must be completed, and the completion is faithful unto death. Or faithful to the return of Christ, and then you'll be changed. So that I may also, he says, but I'm striving. That's what we need to do. Striving. We need to have the works of Christ. We need to have the zeal of Christ. We need to have the character of Christ. But I'm striving so that I also may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Now here's the key. Verse 12. Brethren, I do not count myself as having attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, everything that's in this world, everything about how you lived your life in sin, everything that is behind. And remember, even the righteousness that you do today, that's fine. But you can't say, okay, I've had this much righteousness today, I'm going to take some of that and put it for tomorrow. Or I've had this much righteousness today, and since it wasn't so good yesterday, I'm going to take that and apply it to yesterday. No. Every day is a new day. And we go forward every day in the way that God wants us to go, see. So he says, brethren, I do not count myself as having attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are ahead, I press, like Jesus said, only the zealous are the ones who are going to attain the kingdom of God. I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's what we need to do. Just like during the Exodus, all the way on the Exodus, they had to walk, keep on walking. And what they walk today does not count for tomorrow. But what they did today got them that much closer. What they would do tomorrow would bring them again that much closer. So that's how we have to count it in growing and overcoming and changing and getting rid of vanity and getting rid of sin and walking in God's perfect way and knowing how to live. All the things that are past, forget it. You can't live in the past. You must live in the present and in the future because the future is where it's coming from. Now notice what he says, verse 15. So then let as many as be perfect be of this mind. This is the attitude. This is the mind. You can go back and tie that in where we began in Matthew, the 5th chapter, with all the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes of our mind, but be of this mind, which comes from Christ. Now here's a promise. You think, well, how can I do that? You can do it. Everyone can do it. God will give you the strength to do it. God has given you his spirit to do it. God has given you his word for you to study so you will know how to do it. See? And if in anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. God is going to make it known to you. Now, lots of times we go along and all of a sudden we discover there's some sin in our thoughts, the way we behave. And you wonder, well, where does that come from? Well, do you have the Spirit of God? Yes. Because God loves you, will he not through his Spirit reveal what you need to repent of so you can repent of it? Yes. What is God doing? God is perfecting us. Now you see how simple that is. Then he says, verse 16, nevertheless, in regard to that which you have attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Now let's see how that's going to be. Let's see the way that we need to walk. Let's come to the epistle of 1 John. And let's see what it is that needs to be perfected. And let's see what it is that is going to bring us to that perfection through the power of God, through his Holy Spirit. Let's come to 1 John, the first chapter. Now we know we're not to be part of this world. And here, let's first of all go to the second chapter, verse 15, and see what we are not to do. and then let's see what we are to do. We're not to go back and live the way that we used to live. As Peter said, it's like a dog going back to eat its vomit, or a sow going back after it's been cleansed and polished up for the fair, and then it sees a big sewer mud hole and it just runs headlong and jumps in it and squeals and oinks and rolls in it, having a great time in all of the dirt and blither. Well, no. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world. We're going to see we need to love God. Nor the things in the world. And today we've got all kinds of gadgets and things, don't we? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because it is the love of the Father that will perfect us. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pretentious pride of physical life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And we are not to emulate those things. We're not to be captivated by those things. Because here's why. And the world and its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. And remember, the goal is, be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. And the goal is eternal life. Those things are passing away. So let's come here to chapter 2. Let's see what we are to be perfecting. Verse 3. By this standard we know that we love him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wonder how that would go over in a Protestant church. They say, yeah, we'll do that, all except for number 4. Think on that one for a minute. On the other hand, verse 5, if anyone is keeping his word, that's the way. That's why Jesus is called the Word. See? That's why we have his Word. That's why we have the Bible. Truly, in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means, we know we are in him. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself to walk even as he himself walked. That's how we are to live. God's way is perfect. God is perfecting in us. Now let's see how this is to be done. Let's see what we are to do. Let's come to Romans, the 12th chapter. And since we have the Spirit of God, and since it is the truth of God which is perfect, and in it there is no lie, and since Jesus is the way, and since God the Father and Jesus Christ dwell in us, we are, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to overcome sin and get it out, just like we get the leaven out of our homes. Now, here's what we're to do. Romans 12 and verse 1. I exhort you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service. That's becoming perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Do not conform yourselves to this world, though we are not to be of the world. We're to come out of the world. We're to come out of Egypt. We're to come out of Babylon. But be transformed in the renewing of your mind. That's what it is. Our minds need to be converted and changed. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, not by our carnal minds and lust. We are to be led by the Word of God in Jesus Christ, not by the ways of this world. Transformed by the renewing of your mind in order that you may prove what is well-pleasing and good and the perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? That Christ be formed in us. And that we develop the mind of Christ. That we develop the love of God. Now let's come back here to 1 John, the 4th chapter. And let's read here how we are to be motivated with the love of God. And how we are to yield to God. And how we're going to see that this love of God and love within us by loving God the Father and Jesus Christ with all our heart, mind, and soul and being, love our neighbors as ourselves, and love the brethren as Jesus loved us. We're to see what this does for us. And then we're going to see how we apply it so we can attain to that perfection. Now, 1 John 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 6. We are of God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of deception. And in the world is the spirit of deception. Satan is deceiving the whole world with the word of God. And those who have God's spirit, it is the spirit of the truth to lead us. Verse 7. Beloved, we should love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been begotten by God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God because God is love. Now think about this. What God did in sending Christ to make all of this possible. In this way, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. And as we covered on the Sabbath before Passover, that Jesus went through a baptism of blood unto death. It was his own blood streaming out of his body that was ripped and torn open. And notice what John says of it right here. In this act is the love. Not that we love God. Didn't come from us first. Rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also duty-bound to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. Yet if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his own love is perfected within us. Yes, indeed. That's what God wants. The leavened bread symbolizes sin. The unleavened bread pictures the sinless way of God, which is based on love. And that is what is to perfect us. By this standard, we know we are dwelling in him and he is dwelling in us because of his Spirit, which he has given to us. And we have seen for ourselves and bear witness that the Father sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and have believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And the one who dwells in love is dwelling in God and God in him. Now that's something, because it's the love of God that's perfecting it. Now, let's cover a couple more verses here, then we'll go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And we will see how absolutely manifested it is that day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, that it is the love of God that gives us the power to overcome. And it is the love of God that perfects us so that we can be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Verse 17, by this spiritual indwelling, the love of God is perfected within us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because even as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, verse 18 is a key. Yes, we are to fear God. That means hold him in awe and wonder and reverence. We're not to be fearful and cowardly. And you know, let me just say this. Those churches of God that the manifest, basic, fundamental operational mode is fear are deficient in the love of God, because that's what it says right here. There is no fear in the love of God. Rather, perfect love, and that's what we're trying to achieve, cast out fear, because fear has torment. And the one who fears has not been made perfect in the love of God. Well, let's come to 1 Corinthians 13, and let's see how we can be made perfect in the love of God. First, Corinthians 13. Now, this is very important for us to understand. This is called the love chapter. And, you know, for years, I often wondered, when we just had the King James Version of the Bible, and why in the King James Version of the Bible that the word agape in the Greek was translated charity instead of love, where everywhere else in the Bible it was translated love? Well, the dirty little secret is there were papists in the committee of the King James Version translating this section of the Bible, and they wanted to put their Latin stamp on it, charity instead of love. Now notice, this covers every aspect of human nature, the futility and sinfulness of what we are, and the only way to overcome it is with the love of God, because perfect love casts out fear. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanking cymbal. Just meaningless. You can see a lot of that on television, can't you? You can see a lot of that in movies, can't you? You can see a lot of that in everyday life. You see a lot of that in politics. Oh, my. Yes, indeed. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith. I mean, look, this would be considered the complete man in the world, wouldn't it? How smart he is, how knowledgeable he is, how powerful he is, how faithful he is. Yes, he just removed a mountain and cast it into the ocean yesterday. Oh, what a marvelous man that is. But Paul says, but if I do not have love, I'm nothing. What does it matter? If I give away all my goods and if I deliver my body that I may be burned but do not have love, I've gained nothing. Oh, talk about self-sacrifice. Oh, what a righteous thing it was during the Vietnam War. The television channels played it over and over again when the Buddhist priest would sit down in their lotus position and douse themselves with gasoline and set themselves on fire. Oh, what a thing that they did. How righteous that was. Well, if you don't have the love of God, you gain nothing. Now, here's how we overcome with love. Love is patience. We learn patience. Love is kind. We learn to be kind. Love envies not. Does not brag about itself, is not puffed up. The whole purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, to get rid of the vanity of human nature, to get rid of the evil that is within, to be changed, to be reconfigured with the Spirit of God and the love of God, you see. Love does not behave itself disgracefully, does not seek its own things, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Boy, I tell you, we need the love of God to overcome a lot of that. And we better think about, you know, what are we letting into our minds? Now, remember the series that I did? Who and what controls your mind? It's the love of God that needs to be doing it, not the things in the world. And we're going to be inundated with more and more things. If you think the world is deceived now, hang on. It's going to get a whole lot worse. That's why we need the love of God and growing and changing and overcoming. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. You get through all the difficult things. Because you love God and you love the person, there is forgiveness and there is mercy and there is loving kindness. Endures all things. Love never fails. Now, we fall short because we're weak. But the love of God never fails. And the love of God in your life, and you're showing love to others, you're loving them. Now, that never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Now they're all going to be fulfilled, come to an end. Whether there be languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Just like a everything in this physical life will just, when we become spirit beings, vanish away. God will have perfected his plan. Verse 9, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfected by the renewing of your mind. Be perfected in holiness. Then that which is in part shall be set aside. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I set aside the things of a child. Same way with us. We need to grow up in Christ. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. What's it going to be like to look at God the Father face to face and say, Father, I love you. And he says, I love you. And that's the whole basis for why we're here. That's the whole purpose of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So today we know in part, we understand in part, but then we'll be known exactly as we are. Paul finishes it here, so we will also end here. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And the greatest love of God was exemplified and shown to us through the Passover. And our greatest love coming from God the Spirit is shown through the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we can get rid of sin, we can overcome human nature, and we can put in God's way and primarily the love of God so that we obey God's voice. So have a great Feast of Unleavened Bread. Take extra time for study and prayer. Do the things that you need to change, to grow, to overcome. Ask God in special time and prayer that he will add his Spirit, that he will help you overcome, that you can put away the sins of your life, all of the difficulties and problems and hatreds and bitternesses and everything that comes up in human life that is just like leaven that spoils and sours everything. And let the love of God be perfected in you so that you become perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.